Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 7, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 24 through 30, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Crumbs Under the Table. Crumbs Under the Table. As we look into this chapter and these verses of Scripture, we're going to see something so unique during this time frame. Jesus needed a place to just take a time out, just to go rest. And we all been reading and we understand that he first came to the Jews first. Can I get amen? Well, there was a Canaanite type of woman of, she was, in layman's terms, African-American back in the day, but she was from Syrophoenician. Okay, so probably from Egypt area. Okay, she was a Gentile. But we're going to read and we're going to see something unique that took place right during this time frame. And so let us look into these verses of Scripture and then pray that God will expound these verses for our understanding, for our learning, so that our faith will grow. Can I get amen? This is all about our faith growing in God. And so let's read these verses. From there he rose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Key towns there. We all know that these places were basically abandoned by God. Why? Because of their lack of faith. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be hidden. He could not be hidden. Key verse of Scripture here. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. All the other translations call this unclean spirit an evil spirit. Remember that. An unclean spirit heard about him. And she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Wow. She must have been in turmoil. Torment. Let's read verse 27 through 30 now. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Man, that almost sounds derogatory, doesn't it? It almost sounds like an insult. But we have to always peel that onion skin to see what Jesus was referring to. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Did you catch that? Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has come out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone and her daughter lying on the bed. Wow. Let me just say this, and then we'll go into just delving deeper into this. You know, I grew up in charismatic Pentecostal churches, right? And I've seen this at the altar calls where they'll come up and a preacher will lay hands and in the name and do all this. He just sent the word, and it was done. He just said, your daughter, the demon's gone. It doesn't take all that. It takes God's supernatural power to work mighty. And it's the spoken word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. We need to understand that. It's not a man. It's not a position. It's the Spirit of God. Can I get an amen? Once it's spoken and it leaves the mouth of God, it is done. That deed is accomplished, and you could take it to the bank. I needed to say that because I grew up in these churches where, you know, it was like, sometimes it was not charismatic, it was charismania. I saw people barking like a dog and plucking like a chicken. It'll take all that. All you need to do is have faith and believe God. Can I get amen? And watch God do the miraculous. God sent his word, and that demon was gone. We don't know how far away she lived. All we know is that when she came home, that demon was gone. Why? Because God fills all space. He's everywhere at once. So let's look at verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. But he could not be what? Hidden. So saints, Jesus traveled about 30 miles to the region of Tyre and then went to Sidon. These were port cities, almost like San Diego's Bay, where a port city. And it was on the Mediterranean Sea, north of Israel. That's where Sidon is. Both cities had flourishing trade and were very wealthy. Similar to ours, along the coast of California. There's a lot of wealth in these port cities. And they were proud of the historic Canaanite cities. But in David's day, Tyre was on friendly terms with Israel during King David's day. But something changed, something turned. But let's look back in David's day, because the Word of God mentions that during this time, during King David's reign, Tyre was friends with Israel. Let's look at this. Then Hiram, the king of Tyre, in 2 Samuel 5, 11, verses 11 through 13, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. Look, that's how kind they were. They built King David a house. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. And David took more concubines and wives. Oh, that was the worst thing he could have done. From Jerusalem, after he had come from Hebron. Matter of fact, Sister Yolanda and I, we've been to Hebron on one of our Israel trips. That's where the body of Abraham and his wife, Sarah, are buried. They have tombs there in this big old giant synagogue. There's tombs underneath, and that's where those two are buried. Also, more sons and daughters were born, what? To David. But soon afterward, the city became known for its wickedness, Tyre and Sidon. Its king even claimed to be God. So it turned from being a friendly nation to an evil, wicked nation. Look what happened here, how Ezekiel explains Tyre. Now, we're going back to see where Jesus went to. Because there was a lot of demonic activity during this time. And I believe 2,000 years later, it hasn't changed, has it? Not in our country, at least. Look at this. In Ezekiel 28, 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, I am a god. Notice this king of Tyre was thinking he was like God. I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. So this nation turned wicked. This is why we need to pray for our nation. Can I get amen? I believe this nation is turning very wicked. You heard what I said earlier. For those of you that came in a little late, you got to pray for President Trump's cabinet. because one of his cabinet members is advocating around the world to allow every country to have homosexual marriages, coming right out of the Trump campaign. We need to pray, because that's an abomination. Yeah, we voted for him. Yeah, we prayed that but he's allowing one of his cabinet members to spearhead this around the world. If we cannot stand for righteousness, why are we here? Can I get amen? Yeah, we have mercy, we have grace to those that are caught up in that, but it's still an abomination to God. And God will judge it. Can I get amen? I know some of us, including my family, distant or close, there are people that dabble in that area. We know that. You need to pray for them. Pray that God's mercy will be upon them. Can I get amen? And all we can do is live the life of Christ before them. That's all we can do. They have to somehow cry out to God for mercy. They have to repent of their sin. They have to come to the cross. Because what we were dabbling in, we may not have been in that area, but we were no different. Sin is sin. We still have to come to the cross. Can I get amen? And so, saints, Tyre rejoiced when Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 B.C. Because without Israel's competition, Tyre's trade and profits would increase. They wanted Israel to be destroyed. Why? Because this little G god, this king of Tyre, was lifted up. And so Jesus and the disciples probably went to this Gentile territory thinking they would be less well known and thus could obtain privacy and rest at this time. So they went to someone's house, probably the home of a Jew who lived in that area, and did not want anyone to know where they were. But let me just say this. When the miracle man shows up, people know who he is. The dead were being raised. Come on. Just imagine. They didn't have smoke signals. They didn't have iPhones or anything. They went door to door to psst, 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 psst. There's a man from Galilee who's raising up the dead. Yeah, I'm telling you, news will travel fast. Faster than your text message. So, they went to someone's house, probably the home of a Jew who lived in that area, and did not want anyone to know that they were there. But even in this Gentile territory, he couldn't keep his presence a secret. He just couldn't. So, let's move on to the next verse of Scripture in Mark chapter 7. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit that heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. I'm telling you, that's when you're crying out. Let me just say this, and I speak to my own self, including this. When's the last time you actually fell on your feet and cried out to God for the things that you need to see done in your life and the life of others? And when I say the life of others, that they would line up in righteousness, that's all. You can't make no one be like the way you want, but you could pray that the righteousness of Christ could come upon them, that their life would be enriched. Can I get amen? That their life would become blessed. Verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She was in dire straits. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever encountered someone that was demon-possessed? I have. I saw it for myself. I was at North Park Apostolic Church. I'll never forget. Bishop Trout was preaching a message. There was some gangbangers that were in the back. They had the wife beater shirts. You know what they looked like? You know, the t-shirts with the straps, and they're trying to show their guns. And they all had bandanas back there, you know, and they were there to check out the sisters in the choir. That's what they were there for. And then But Bishop Trout brought a message, and man, people were coming down to that altar. And I remember looking back, because us single brothers, it was mandatory. If you were a single brother and you were part of the ministry there, you had to sit in the front row. They didn't want the single brothers sitting in the back. You know why? Because their eyes would be looking everywhere else. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got. They wanted you up there looking right at the preacher. They was real strict back then. Still are. I don't know if they still are, but they were. But I look back, and those gangbangers, we were keeping an eye on them. They all left except one. I think he was their leader. He came down to the altar. And you can see he was like in a daze. And when he came all the way to the altar, all the single brothers, the deacons, we all got up because we didn't know what he was going to do. And he fell on his knees, just like this Syrophoenician lady. And he started taking out his drugs. He even had a gun, and he put it down. And then I remember all the brothers were laying hands on him. We were just praying for him in the Holy Ghost. We were saying, say Jesus is Lord. Say Jesus is Lord. We're all praying all that. And then all of a sudden, he fell back. He started squirming like a snake. And there was a stench that came out of this man. And he wasn't passing gas. It smelled like a sulfur smell. And man, we knew the Holy Ghost was driving that demon out. And then the Holy Ghost came and filled him. Like that. Man, it was like that fast. 2 months later, that brother was cleaned up, came in suits to church. Transformed by the power of God. That's what's lacking in people's lives, is they don't desire to have the Holy Ghost. They don't desire to have the Spirit of God living in them. You know why? Because when the Spirit of God truly comes in, he will clean up house. And it's not about speaking in tongues and all that. No, it's about the power of God coming in. Hallelujah. And changing and flipping a heart that was dark and bringing in light to that soul. And then they see through the lens of the Holy Ghost that the righteousness of Christ is yes and amen. They start understanding it. And so the word of Jesus' arrival, it spread throughout Tyre. And so the one woman came to Jesus right away on behalf of her little girl who was possessed by an evil spirit. The woman fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to release her child from the demon's control. Mark added that this woman was a Gentile. But look what it says here in Matthew. It says, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering acute pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and he healed them all. Let me just say this. When you got saved, God healed you. Can I get an amen? He healed us and he set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So saints, demons as spirit beings have the ability to take possession of a physical body. Demonic possession occurs when a person's body is completely controlled by a demon. This cannot happen to a child of God, since the Holy Spirit resides in the heart of the believer of Christ. You can be oppressed, but as a child of God, you cannot be possessed. The unbeliever opens up his heart, and that demon will come in and cause havoc. But we can be oppressed, and we can also be buffeted by one. I got scripture to back this up. Oh, yeah. But look at this. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So if the Holy Ghost is living inside, the demon can't get in. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody got to shout. You just tell the demon, nuh-uh. Jesus lives in here. He lives in my house. And you could bind and rebuke that thing. It will have to go because demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Jesus' authority over the demons was one of the proofs that he was indeed the Son of God. Look how Luke says this, right? Or Matthew. Many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with what? With a stick. Huh. He came with a broom. He came with a belt. Oh, you need a nalgada now. That how he came and drove them out? He spoke the word. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke the word. Thank you, God. Whoo! His proof was that he had authority over darkness. Can I get an amen? And God is teaching us to have authority over darkness too. Amen? Oh, yeah. We all get tempted. Some of us even put our hand in the cookie jar when we shouldn't. Can I get an amen? We're all foul. We all fail every now and then. But you know what? Then God comes and convicts us, man, and says, wait a minute, child. I just delivered you from that. Look at Luke. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. All Jesus has to do is just, boom, touch you. You don't need all this and that and that and throw you on the ground and stomp on you. I still see it. Come on, we've been there, huh? Come on, Jesus needs to send the word. Saints, the demons who encountered Jesus knew who he was, and they feared him. They feared him. Oh, yeah. Those demons feared. They knew who Jesus was. Well, look what it says here in Matthew. What do you want with us, Son of God? The demons shouted. Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Man, they know where their end game is. They know. This is why they only have so much time right now. Because Jesus is about to burst the sky. Can I get amen? And he's going to say, time up. And all those demons are going to be placed in the abyss. Saints, the demons knew. And they know that their end will end in torment. Satan and his demons now look to destroy the work of God and deceive anyone they can. Yeah. So this is where we need to have we need to be clothed with God's Spirit in us and through us and upon us. Can I get amen? Because let me tell you, what I just told you, what's happening, that's taking place right now, that spirit wants to come in and compromise you. It wants you to say, well, you know what? Well, maybe it is okay. Maybe what God said is not, you know, maybe it's okay with him. That's a wrong answer. But that's what the devil wants you to know. He wants you to think, well, it's okay. Or what did the devil tell Eve in the garden? Did God really say that? After he told her, don't eat that fruit from the forbidden tree in the middle of the garden. And the devil was right there. Did he really say that? How many believe that Satan is a devouring entity? That's right. That's right, he is. The demons know their end is going to be final torment. They're going to be tormented in the lake of fire. So right now, they're pulling out every string they can especially against the church. We're the only ones that advocates righteousness. The church, the true born-again church. I'm not talking about the laid-back church. I'm talking about the ones that really know their word, that are born of God. That's right. Look what 1 Peter says here. Be sober, be what? Vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Look, he devoured that little girl. The woman came and fell at his feet. She had no more hope. Doctors couldn't help her. Psychiatrists couldn't help her. The town crier couldn't help her. No one could but Jesus. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church regarding this. Look at this. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Watch out. And watch out for other ministries too. Man, I'm telling you, there's some that are on left field. There's churches that won't talk about sin. They won't talk about fornication. They won't talk about homosexuality. They won't. Why? Because they don't want to offend nobody. But that lets me know there's another spirit then at work. Because if you're not teaching and preaching and letting knowledge of the Word of God and see for God's Word what it really says, then why are we having church and why are we having Bible study? But these are the words of Christ through the Holy Spirit, who Paul wrote in the New Testament. Look at this. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of what? Righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Lord, help me. Lord, help us. This is why you pray for your pastor. Can I get amen? The last thing I want to do is find myself in this category. It's got to be all about God. Can I get amen? It's got to be him. Because it's easy. The devil wants to take me out. He wants to take out leaders. He wants to take out all kinds. But you know what? If you're not preaching this kind of message, you're all right. He ain't going to come and buffet you. Saints, the demons are described. Now, we're going to go a little, we got to focus on these demons. Because if you just look at, oh, she came and fell out on her knees and, you know, and then the demon left. Well, why do they come? Why are they here? What do they actually do? This is where we have to pause and we have to examine this. Can I get an amen? We got to look at this a little closer. Why were they such a great threat, and how are they a great threat today? How many believe that they're still around? That's right. Look at this. They're evil spirits. Matthew 10 and 1. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out what? Evil spirit. They're evil. And to heal every disease and sickness. He gave his apostles and his disciples power and authority to cast out those evil spirits. Why are they evil? We're going to look a little closer at why they're evil and why this is a serious matter with God. We can't just brisk right by this passage. We got to look at why did he deliver this little girl? And why were they such a threat to the kingdom of God? Well, number one, they were evil spirits. Number two, they're unclean spirits. They're filthy. They're filthy. The book of Romans. We don't have time to go into the book of Romans, but people will just engulf themselves with these unclean spirits, and then God has to turn them over to a reprobate mind. When God turns over someone as a reprobate mind, there's no coming back to him no more. He's turned them over to their lust. Look at this. They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." An unclean spirit will deceive you. It'll tell you that adultery is okay, fornication is okay, homosexuality is okay, drug abuse, pedophilia. You know how many priests now are being uncovered for molesting these little boys who were innocent? Listen, let me just say this. God did not make a man or a woman to be celibate their whole life. Can I get an amen? He put that in us to procreate, but to do it through righteousness, to come to the altar and become one, to have God's blessing upon it. But the unclean spirit in our day and time is telling everyone, man, just shack up and pack. You don't have to go through all that. And when you tie into that lie, man, you will stand before God all by yourself. There ain't no one to run to. There's no one to look at. Well, I need an attorney here, God. Unclean spirits, they come to deceive. And then, they're lying spirits. They'll lie to you. They'll try to convince you. It's okay. Man, keep that girl. You know what? Come on. It's all right. Our society allows this now. This is the law of the land now. They're lying spirits. Look at what it says in 1 Kings. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. You know what? People that will fall and be deceived, God will send a lying spirit now. He'll use one of those demons. He'll use those demons. That's what, you know what? I've been looking at, he uses that evil to bring judgment on someone. Look at that. The Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. When Jeremiah was saying, we need to repent because we're going to be overtaken by another country, they threw him down a well. And God put a lying spirit to these false prophets. My goodness. And all these demons, they come from Satan. Angels of Satan. Look at this. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old. I call him old Slewfoot. Called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You got to remember, picture this. This earth that we live in right now, as I speak, the dominion and the authority that has it right now is Satan. Jesus had to come to heaven to this earth to die for our sin. Notice, he came from above to came here. Why? Because the original sin corrupted the whole earth. This is why we have to die after so many years and go back to the ground. Because we still live under the curse of sin. This is why we have a sin nature. This is why God has equipped us now to live a holy and righteous life. But this whole entire world is under the dominion of the devil. So look at this. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Look at this. Satan and his demons deceive the whole world. Look what Paul wrote. He wrote this in 2 Corinthians. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So this lets me know, and I'm speaking about unbelievers. When I mean unbelievers, I'm talking about those who have never been born again, who've never received the Spirit of God, because when a person receives the Spirit of God, there's a transformation that takes place. It's almost immediately. Not, you don't learn the ways of God overnight, but when the Spirit of God comes in, He brings the light. So now you will gravitate to God's promises in his word. You will gravitate to the cross where we were once enemies to the cross. So those who are blind, it's because Satan has deceived them. They can't see truth. They don't want to know truth. They don't want to do the truth. Because I found out through God's word, they cannot do the truth because they don't have God's spirit in them. Ask yourself that. Why do I love the things of God now where before I got saved, I didn't? I love the things of the world. Oh, didn't we love the things of the world? Whose mind's the god of this age. Who is this little god here, the little g? Who is it? Satan. And then these demons come. This is why Jesus had to cast out. This is why Jesus had to show us in the word how serious these entities were. Because they're not just lying spirits. They're not just unclean. One of the things that they do is they do this. They promulgate false doctrine, meaning they'll come in, and why do you think there's over 1,000 different Christian denominations? Why do you think, why can't we agree? Why is there such a wall with other denominations? Why? Because the Bible says, now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Teachings of the devil. What? Oh, yeah. Case in point. I never thought I'd see the day. I got saved in 1989, and none of this, what I'm going to say, hadn't evolved yet. But now, in 2019, there are churches under the Christian banner that are marrying homosexuals. What? That's a doctrine of the devil. That's a demon doctrine, deceiving spirit. He came in to those organizations and has deceived them. Wow. This is a serious matter, isn't it? It is. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And one of their goals is to do this very thing. They attack Christians. That's right. If you're standing up for Christ, you in a war. No, yeah, you are in a war. No, not me. Yeah, if you're standing for Christ, if you're living the life that God has called you to live, you're going to be attacked day and night. He'll attack your flesh. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your home. He'll attack your family. Why? Because if he could trip you up, guess what? You will be what? Enabled now to minister to those around you. So his job is to cripple you, the called out one, so that you have no power. You'll be looking at just, woe is me. And God has said, man, that's right, get up. Get up and go. You don't have time to woo, woo, woo is me. Look at this. Paul wrote this. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation. God gave him revelation after revelation, but he didn't want to be puffed up about it. He wanted to stay humble because the things that God was given this man, who was an enemy to the cross at one time, he persecuted the church. He went drive-bys. He would come and just terrorize people and feed them to the lions and kill them and burn their houses because he thought he was doing the right thing. But look at this. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. They'll come to attack you too. That's right. It was about a month ago. I was rising up from bed, and that thing just came out of nowhere, and it pinned me to the bed. It had my throat, and I just heard this buzz noise in my ears, and it was a wicked thing upon me. And all I could do was cry out to Jesus in my mind. And then finally, that thing let up. I got up, and I rebuked the devil out of that, and that thing left. That entity left. Because they come. They come unannounced. They don't send you a text, hey, I'm coming over tonight. I'm going to come and harass you tonight. Or they'll send an email to you. And they'll put a little demon, what do you call those things? Emoji. You know, a little guy with the horns. You know, I'm coming to harass you tonight. They come when they want to come. If you're living holy for God and living right, they're going to come. Paul wrote that down. Why? Because look what Peter wrote. Peter wrote, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's seeking after us believers. Oh, yes, he is. That's right. And this is what they do, and they're prepared to do. And this is what they want to do. They think they could whoop God. Did you know that? Those demons are self-deceived. They think, oh man, there's a number of us. We can overtake the throne room of God. That's right. They want to combat the holy angels of God. Look what Revelation says. Okay, I got word to back it up. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. He knew that Jesus was going to be born from this virgin. He came looking for this child. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and his throne. Look at this. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she was a place prepared by God that they should feed her their 1,260 days. And war broke out in the heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. Michael is one of the cherubims that watch over the throne of God. And those demons came to fight with them. My goodness. Look at this. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. They fought, man. You know, thank God, God doesn't give us eyes to see in the spirit realm. Because it must be so ferocious that we would probably have a heart attack and die. But they did not prevail. Say that with me. Did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. They were, man, bam, you're out of here. Gone. Look at this. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old slew foot, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth and his angels were cast out with him. So they're here right now. When Jesus comes back, they're going to be cast into the bottomless pit, and he's going to put a lock on them for 1,000 years. And you and I have never experienced what it's like without sin in our life until Jesus comes. We'll have a new body. We'll reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. And then the Bible says he got to let old Slewfoot out for a bit. moving on. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Saints, Jesus answered her in the language of a parable. Jesus used the word for dogs that referred to household pets. And it wasn't really going that direction. Listen to me. The simple parable meant that the children at the table are fed before the pets. Those of you that have dogs, I think we eat first, don't we? It would not be right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. While it is true that in Jewish tradition, Gentiles at times were referred to derogatory as dogs, that probably does not apply here. The Greek word used as derogatory nickname applied to wild dogs or scavenger dogs, not household pets. So you're not going to have a vicious wild dog underneath your table. You're going to have little Paco or Chico or whatever your little pet's name is, right? Man, you have a wild dog under there, man, he'll eat more than food. He'll eat you too. Jesus' ministry was first to his own family and then the Jews, right? He would not take away from them to perform miracles for a Gentile. It was what he meant. We should realize that his words do not contradict the truth that God's message is for all people. Can I get an amen? He came for all of us. But at that time, that particular moment, all he was saying, listen, I came to the household of faith first, but I'm going to get to you guys real soon. But she needed an answer now. So guess what he did? He stepped over that rule that they had to show grace and mercy. Aren't you so blessed that he showed us grace and mercy when we deserved the cross? We deserve to be nailed up on here. But he stepped over the law and showed his grace. I'm going to have grace and mercy on you. Do we deserve it? No. Because the word of God says this in Psalms. Look at this. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. That's us. Look at this, and it says this in Isaiah. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And when you break down the word nation, it's actually nationality, ethnicity, for all of us. All of us, not just Jewish people. Look what it says here in Mark, in the New Testament. He said to his disciples, and go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. I look at this speaking with new tongues two ways. Yeah, when the Spirit of God comes in, man, it'll flow. For me, man, it was hours until it settled. Man, it was like, whoa, this was awesome. And the joy, you can't even comprehend the joy. But also, that new tongue is a tongue that don't curse no more. It says, praise the Lord. And you know, when you get mad, you don't go cursing out someone. You ever seen Christians that quote unquote, they're believers, and yet, man, what's coming out of that mouth? Something's wrong. Is the Holy Ghost in there? If you still have the desire to curse someone out and say these profane things, something ain't right. Something ain't mixed in there. Something's out of order. They will speak with new tongues. Meaning, praise the Lord. God bless you. Let me pray for you. You become a servant of God. You become humbled. Humility now is clothed through his righteousness upon you. You'll learn to love those despite of your indifferences. You'll learn to love them. You'll learn to keep serving them and keep ministering to them. In 10 years, people have come and gone. But you know what? God said, don't worry about it. Just keep loving them. Keep preaching. Keep serving me. And keep feeding his sheep. You guys are his. I'm his. He told Peter, feed my sheep. And all he was a disciple and an apostle. Amen? Look at this. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, if you do a Greek study, because it was written in the Greek, the New Testament, and it says if they drink anything deadly, don't test God and go home and drink some, what do you call it, what's bleach? Oh, man, God will just protect me. No. When you go a little further about drinking anything deadly, that means taking in false doctrine. Taking in things that are the mindset of the world. Humanism. Being an atheist with their point of view. The colleges we have now in our nation, they're godless. So if you drink that in and hear that, guess what? It won't hurt you because you'll know the truth. Can I get amen? The Holy Ghost lives in you. You'll discern truth. Oh, you out of order. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Praise God. God has given us authority. Can I get amen? To walk in his ways, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Look at this. Romans said, Paul wrote this, as I come in for a close, and the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and to sing your name. And again says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. That's right. Because there's saved Jews too. That's right. Look at this. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him. All you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. How many are so blessed to have the hope of God living inside us, huh? Well, that's right. We have the hope of God. Look at verse 28. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Unlike many of Jesus's Jewish listeners, this woman understood Jesus' parable. Her answer was wise, for she explained to Jesus by extending his parable that the children who love the pets often drop crumbs to them. Not all the Jews accepted Jesus. We all know that. While some Gentiles chose to follow him. Look at Luke. He was a Gentile physician. He followed Jesus. Why couldn't she have some of those leftovers that the Jews didn't eat? You ever asked that yourself that question? She did not ask for the entire meal, just a few crumbs, or one crumb in particular, meaning one miracle of healing for her daughter. That's what she meant by these crumbs, because he was going around healing everything that came to him, raising the dead, healing the leprosy, giving sight to the blind, giving those that were deaf ears to hear, those who were mute that couldn't speak, those who had deformities, those who were paraplegic, all these. He came and just spoke the word. She was just wanting a little crumb. Ironically, many Jews would lose God's spiritual healing because they rejected Jesus, while many Gentiles whom the Jews rejected would find salvation because they recognize who the Savior was. Hallelujah. And we end with these two verses here. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone and her daughter lying on the bed. Wouldn't that be awesome? People that we know, friends, family, people that are close, who may be oppressed, who may need a healing, who are walking not in God's ways. And we cried out, and God just spoke the word. And you came home, and that person is changed and becomes like Jesus. What? You have to believe God for it. This woman did. She did. She didn't know the laws of God. She didn't know the Old Testament. She just knew that there was a man named Jesus healing people. Can you believe God for your miracle? Can you believe God that even in the days that we live in, He will do the miraculous in our life if you only believe? Don't lose heart, saints. God is with us. He's not against us. God will equip you. God will make sure that He has called you for such a time as this, that you would walk in the will of God. You will understand His mercy and His grace toward us, and that you will love Him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. Because by doing so, then the whole law of God hinges on that alone. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, God, for Your loving kindness. We thank You, God, for Your tender mercies. We thank You, God, for what You're doing in us and through us, God. We thank You, Lord, because while we were yet sinners, You died for us. You chose us. We didn't choose You. You plucked us out of darkness and translated us into Your light. We're recipients of Your grace, Lord. And we know that we are loved by You. Help us understand Your ways. Help us grow in our faith. Help us, God, continue to walk in Your perfect will. And even though we fall short, God, we know You're there to pick us up. We know You won't let us go astray. For You are the God from everlasting to everlasting. And we thank You. We thank You for Your love. I'm praying for those who are listening to this message right now, here and abroad, that if there's something that we need to take place in our life that includes You, Jesus, help us understand. Help us move forward in our life with You, God. And give us the courage. Give us the breakthrough. Give us everything that we need to succeed in the midst of darkness. Continue to bless us, God, because we need You more than ever now on what's taking place around us. So, Lord, we love You, Jesus. We glorify You. If you're listening to this message and you've never received Christ, pray this simple prayer. We'll pray it with you. And ask God to do the miracle in your life. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. And the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give them a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah. God is so worthy. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.